Blessings abound when you all sing. Thank you so very much. You fill us with God's presence. You fill us with joy. It's powerful. And I thank you so much for your continual witness in that way. Boy. All right. So is this thing on? Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I'm a preacher, and preachers like to be heard, you know. It's the way it goes, you know. It just... At the sunrise service today, we read John's account. Now, that was Luke's account that Margaret read and that you saw on the screen. But we read John's account of the resurrection. And in John's account, it starts out dark, and everyone is running. Everyone is running. I'm not a runner. I'm glad I'm not in John's account. They'd all be way ahead of me, and I'd be behind, and I wouldn't know what... Both of my brothers, my family's huge runners. Both of my brothers ran cross country. My sister and her daughter Jamie used to run half marathons, full marathons, and mountain races as a way of celebrating their birthday. Some of you run. Mr. Bill Hambright right over there. It is legendary. The post office. That guy challenged him to a race. Bill Hambright not only beat him in the race, Bill was running backwards. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is a runner right there. Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly does these things called Spartan races, which is like part race and part obstacle course and part decathlon type of thing on steroids. Me, not so much. I'm not a runner. If you ever see me running, please do me a favor and kill whatever is chasing me. I am not a runner. And in Luke's account, no one is running. I like Luke's account. Everyone's just, you know, quiet. The women go to the tomb. They find the stone rolled away. And then they see a couple of guys in dazzling apparel who ask them, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Who remind them that, don't you remember what Jesus said? He would be crucified and that he would rise on the third day. And so then the women go to tell the apostles. And here's the thing. The apostles don't believe them. The apostles don't get up and shout in joy and celebration, woohoo, giving high fives. No, you know what the apostles do? I'll tell you what they do. They roll their eyes. Okay. Somebody's been in the eggnog this morning. Our passage says they thought it was an idle tale. There are some translations who will translate that and say they thought it was sheer imagination. Other translations will say they thought it was nonsense. And in at least one translation, the men say, you're making it up. Now, none of those are accurate translations of the Greek word. The Greek word is leros. Leros. And I'm not going to tell you what leros exactly means because it's a locker room word. Locker room word. But it means that stuff that organic farmers put on the field. Leros. They thought it was leros. That the women were full of leros. Since the first Easter, people have been doubting the good news of the resurrection. No one ever doubts Good Friday. Everybody believes in Good Friday. Good Friday, yes, we believe in Good Friday. No one has doubts about that. Do we believe that a good person can be put to death? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we believe that. Do we believe that there is cruelty in the world? That there's hate in the world, that there's oppression in the world. Yep, we believe that. And usually there's a rush to blame, complain, and then despair. No one ever asks, do you believe in pain and suffering? Do you believe in hatred or violence, exploitation, betrayal, corruption? Do you believe in the destruction that is happening in Ukraine? Do you think it's fair? Do you think it's right? No one asks those questions. The agonies of a Good Friday world, the agonies of a Good Friday mindset are shouted across the news. We hear it all the time. But trusting the good news, well, trusting the good news of the resurrection is more like a whisper. Just a little whisper. Can you hear it? Because it requires faith. It doesn't exactly feel like it's an even match. You got Good Friday shouting all over the place, and you got the resurrection, and it's a whisper. So hard to believe. The women who went to the tomb, they knew how the world worked. They knew what it was. They showed up to do a loving thing for their dead friend. They did not doubt that he was dead. They knew he was dead. He wasn't just mostly dead. He was dead, dead. They saw him on the cross. They saw him in the tomb. They did not doubt that he was dead. It was easy to believe in sorrow and in despair. They had probably, perhaps, for a while, trusted in hope. They had, for a while, trusted in good. They had, for a while, even trusted in the possibility of change. But that all died when they saw it nailed to a cross and laid in a tomb. And maybe they told themselves, I'm never going to do that again. I will never trust in hope again. I will never trust in good again. I will never, ever trust in the possibilities of change. I will never trust in the power of love over hate. And then they go to the tomb. And the stone is rolled away, and the tomb is empty, but they don't fully trust that either. It's not like Jesus showed up and said, hey, now where were we? He wasn't there. They didn't see him, not in Luke's account. It wasn't like he was just going to pick up from where everything was a few days ago. It's more of a whisper than a shout. It requires trust in a way that the crucifixion did not require trust. And so they're confused and they're afraid. Now sometimes, if we're honest, sometimes you know we want to take our fist and shake it to the skies. And we want to say, if you want me to believe in the power of good and the triumph of love, you've got to do a little better job than what I'm seeing right now. You've got to get on my TV set and show me something like that. I'm kind of tired of having to listen for a whisper when everybody else is shouting Good Friday news. It's hard to compete with the whisper of Easter and the possibility of resurrection. Sometimes it's hard to believe there is good in the world, that there is hope, that love will triumph. But then, you know this, something happens. And that whisper comes into your heart. And where there was darkness and despair, a light begins to take place. Hope is reborn. And we're reminded it's a seed. It doesn't instantaneously become a tree. It takes a while. But in that whispering moment, we begin to see the sprout pulling up through the ground. We see that it is possible. that it is still coming to us with new life of hope and love and possibilities. There is no way that a bunch of spin doctors in the first century could have transformed the women and transformed the men from a bunch of terrified doubters into dedicated evangelists erupting with good news and filled with joy. There is no memorial society dedicated to a crucified master who could have converted their deep sorrow into one of joy. There is no amount of wishful thinking that could have resurrected such courage and hope from the despair of Good Friday when the world was collapsed in bleak darkness. No rumor could have accomplished that. That only happened because it's true. And for centuries, for 2,000 years, we have continued to be able to proclaim the good news that in Jesus Christ, life is stronger than death. Love is stronger than hate. Hope is stronger than despair. I know sometimes it is hard to trust those things. The first apostles didn't. The women showed up, and what did they do? They rolled their eyes. It's a whole lot easier to trust in suffering, whole lot easier to trust in pain, whole lot easier to trust that things are never going to change. But sometimes we can dare to believe and trust not in ourselves, but trust in God. It's kind of like learning to swim. Yeah, the water is dangerous. It can drown you. But when you're learning how to swim, you learn how to trust that the water can also hold you up. You know this. You've seen it. Some of you have gone swimming. We are witnesses to new life. We are witnesses to hope. We are witnesses to love. We witness because we refuse to let evil win. We refuse to let hate have the last word. We refuse to let despair steal away our hate and our joy. And so even if no one does believe us, even if they think it's just an idle tale, even if they think it's just sheer imagination, even if they think it's just nonsense, even if they think we are full of liros, we will continue to give witness. We will continue to proclaim the good news of Easter to a Good Friday world. That is what we will do because we believe it and the world needs it. It does us no good to keep it to ourselves. We are called to be witnesses of the resurrection, to share the good news of Easter to a Good Friday world, even if no one believes it. Amen.